The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we go again, and welcome back on Thursday, toward the end of another week. Elon Musk, what can you say about Elon Musk that hasn't been said before? Not a whole lot. There's been a lot of talk about this guy for years and years. A lot of it not very complimentary, not very pleasant. Here's a post I have up. Somebody sent this in. I can't confirm any of it, but just for conversation's sake, I can quote it. Elon Musk is basically DARPA. His mother is satanic. The mother of his children is satanic. His boring company digs tunnels for the Department of State, the deep state. He wants to put chips in your head. Truck driver's out of a job, has had close relations with Ghislaine Maxwell, and supports satanic Ukraine. But all, I can't say those words, all are championing him like he's some savior. You call yourselves anonymous, anons, and red pills, but you're as blue as the hair of your gender-confused neighbor. Boy, did I see one of those gender-confused people in the store today. I couldn't tell. You can't tell. The only thing that gave it away was the beard. It's a little joke, but seriously, there was a beard. Otherwise, the voice, the mannerisms, the physique, all female. Female, whatever that means anymore. Hard to tell. Anyhow, we have a wonderful first hour tonight with the amazing Susan Bradford back with us again. Hello, Susan. Thanks for being here and for putting up with me.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Yes. Elon Musk. This guy has tentacles everywhere, it seems.
Yes, he does.
Or he's being run with so many tentacles. I don't know who's who. I can't tell if he's in charge or they're in charge. Or if it's 50-50 in a mixed bag. I just don't know. So tell us about Elon Musk. What do we need to know? Do we care? Is it important?
We should care. And Elon Musk, I see him more as a figurehead or like a face of the technocracy. I don't really see him as being one of the movers and shakers of the movement. And one great tell is that if you watch him in his interviews, when he's asked about basic information or context about the technology that he's developing. He almost has a kind of a blank expression, and he provides very generic responses. So they're not the responses of somebody who is deeply involved with what he's doing. He's more of a spokesperson or actor on the stage. And Elon Musk kind of traces to a very prominent technocratic family. His grandfather founded the Technocratic Party in Canada, and a technocracy is based on an agenda which is called Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, which was launched at the end of World War II. Which I'm sure you're familiar with. And at the base of this agenda is that they seek to regulate every individual from birth, to track and trace them. This is like the basis of the Great Reset, where they plan to absorb the wealth from the people to the elite, and to regulate people from cradle to grave. And this was a strategy that was adopted by the Vatican and the Rothschilds from China. So we now find Elon Musk in the middle of a Twitter battle, and
excuse me, Susan, that Twitter battle apparently is headed to court, is it not?
It is headed to court. I think that the Twitter management is trying to force him to purchase Twitter at an overvalued price.
Well, wasn't it a case of him maybe offering too much, sort of shooting his mouth off? Yeah, I'll give you $44 million or billion or whatever he did. I don't know who made the offer, but he had to have approved it, and the price was $44 million, and then he backed out, which he probably had plenty of exit strategy written into whatever offer he submitted. One would think that that $44 billion came from him, at least intellectually.
It should have been. Potentially, it might have come from Tesla or the shares of Tesla. I think that the valuation was set before the market began to tank. And there are thoughts that maybe he intentionally drove down the value of Twitter by dragging out the merger negotiations. And when there are longstanding merger negotiations, there's a sense of unsettlement, and which drives down the value. And he'd also ran his mouth over potential bots on Twitter. And there's no question that there are a lot of bots on Twitter, but there weren't. He was unable to substantiate the number that he was claiming that it actually had. I think that was another issue where he was potentially trying to drive down the value.
Was $44 billion then a defaced value? What should it have been? Had the market not tanked and all that, was that a good deal for him or whoever?
I think at the time it was a good deal, and then now that the Twitter is worth less, I think now he's kind of stuck with an overvalued business, and so he's been trying to back out. I think he had a $1 billion exit clause too.
So he'd give up $1 billion and he'd be out. Something like that.
He'd be out. And I think they're claiming that he intentionally drove down the value, so they're going to try to force him to honor the attempted purchase.
Well, they should just cut their price 30 or 40%, and he'd probably buy it. There's a way to work these things out. It's got value.
It is. And I have a thought. I'm not sure how valid it is, but that maybe, since Elon Musk has been portrayed as a great savior of freedom and conservatism in the country, I'm wondering if he didn't intentionally target Twitter on behalf of Truth Social, Trump's social media platform. And I say that because...
Interesting idea.
It's a thought, because Ted Cruz, who's a hardcore Zionist, brought Elon Musk into Texas, where he established a gigafactory, and the Rothschilds who are driving the technocracy in the United States, are attempting to build a technocratic corridor linking Arizona and Texas, starting from InQtel, which is the private equity firm for the CIA.
I don't know that. I don't know this company. Interesting. I don't know that. I do know Elon Musk has one hell of a lot of toupees. That guy changes his appearance regularly. And some of them are pretty good. If you like toupees, I don't care. He's South African originally. And a lot of people don't know that. He is the offspring of, was it diamond? Is it diamond mine or gold mine? I can't remember. I think it's diamond.
I think it's a diamond mine, I believe.
Yeah, and he's a Zionist, and I think they are a Jewish family, whatever. But it's all connected, and you all know that. So, yeah, go ahead, Susan. This is very good.
Thank you. I think we've talked about how Elon Musk is a figurehead. My personal belief is that he's on the way out. And the reason I say that, mm-hmm. in one, you could tell that he's being given very negative media coverage. But on the other hand, he led this technocracy. You know, you mentioned Boring, but he also was trying to promote self-driving cars and trucks. But he has his tax deductions for producing green energy cars have expired. This, in turn, is allowing his competitors to take advantage of those tax deductions and then to produce electric cars at a much more a cheaper rate than what Musk can do. So he's no longer as competitive. Like Tesla is no longer as competitive. Also, a number of his key personnel are leaving him. For example, two of eight of the Neuralink founders remain. Neuralink is the company you mentioned where they are attempting to put chips in people's brains. That's the company. So one of the founders left last year to found a rival nanotech company called Synchron, which is an abbreviated form of synchronicity. And they have actually beat Neuralink into securing approval from the FDA for human trials to have a chip implanted in the brain.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that
interesting? I knew nothing about this. Yeah. By the way, it's not one chip. For our listeners who've seen, if you haven't seen the video, you should go look for it. Look for Musk Neuralink, Neuralink, Neuralink. And look how it's dozens of little, thin, tiny wires that are robotically implanted into the skull, into the portion of the brain they wish to affect, with the promise that you'll be able to instantly be part of the cloud and essentially, or hence, all known knowledge and wisdom will be yours. And I say, if they can pull this off, they'll be lined up around the block three times over to get these things. People will want to have access to what they think is intellectual Shangri-La. And they'll do it. I don't think there'll be any shortage of people taking it on. That's just my thought.
That's very interesting. At the same time, they don't need to have their brain linked into the web. They could access the internet on their own.
Well, Susan, let me be more specific. Yes, there is one chip, but that out of that one chip comes dozens of little tiny microwires that are placed all around the brain. The chip is the aggregator from the information that comes back and goes out to the portions of the brain that are being accessed or otherwise called upon by, allegedly, the conscious and conscientious owner of that brain. I don't know how they're going to market it, but it's a crazy thing. Go ahead.
Thank you. It's very well said. I think one of the other plans that Musk has stated is that he wants to achieve immortality through AI by creating like a biological replica of your body through your unique DNA, and then somehow acquiring a 3D copy, like a holograph of your brain, your personality, your memories, and implanting that into the body, this duplicate body, and thereby enabling the individual to live forever. And this was actually technology that was developed in the 1970s, as expressed by Dr. Beter, who was the counsel for JFK's. Peter Beter. I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Yep. Yep.
Mm-hmm. He was JFK's Export-Import Council, or Council for the Export-Import Bank, and he had talked about this back in the 1970s, and so now Musk is promoting it as if this is like a new technology, but I think he's trying to make the technology more mainstream, to make it more attractive to the average person.
Sure. The average people being those who are left after the plandemic reaps its horrible reward, Yeah. This is all interesting. This is Kurzweil, and he wants to live forever in an AI supercomputer, and probably they would use, I guess, some kind of a 3D image of him to stand there and talk and interact, and they have that technology. So, you know, he could still be around after he's gone. It's all doable. I think you're right. I think it is doable. I think Peter Beter was right.
But I think on the one hand, while they can capture the personality and the brain, I don't think they can capture the soul. So that dies with the person.
Assuming there was one there in the first place, my friend.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
If some of these people are very soulless. So, of course, Elon Musk is a champion of communist China. Tesla Shanghai is the world's largest production gigafactory, but though I believe, you know, it has shut down operations during COVID. I'm not sure how operational it is today, but it was at least at one point the world's largest production gigafactory. So Elon Musk, even though he portrays himself as a patriot and champion of freedoms, he's really on board with the China agenda. And, you know, what is the China agenda? I mean, we're kind of seeing it manifest in many horrible ways in our everyday lives. But the China agenda was set in motion at Yalta at the end of World War II, the Yalta Conference, in which the elite, and at that time that was the premier of the Soviet Union, Joseph Stalin, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, agreed secretly to have to elevate communist China to preside over the New World Order while relegating the United States to a bankrupt welfare state. And you see the agenda being carried out now in part by these immigrants who are, you know, overwhelming our borders. And I'm not, you know, against immigration. I'm sure you're not either. But they're coming in faster than the nation can absorb them. And we would have to ask, you know, why are they coming in? In his transcripts, Henry Kissinger, who helped normalize relations with China during the Nixon administration, planned with Mao Zedong, the leader of the Communist Revolution, to invite trouble to the United States, to import trouble through immigration, like the hostile immigration forces. And you can see the agenda being carried out, for example, in a group called the International Refugee Committee. And this group represents a nexus of central bankers, the European Commission, actors, celebrities. So, for example, you have such humanitarians on the board as Timothy Geithner, who was Obama's Secretary of Treasury, President of the New York Federal Reserve, and who oversaw the bank bailouts in 2008-2009. You have Larry Fink, the head founder of BlackRock, you know, which is has a major stake in many of our corporations today, which are forging, you know, public-private partnerships. BlackRock is acquiring a substantial holding in our real estate, driving the price of homes out of the reach for many ordinary citizens. You have Maurice Greenberg, who once presided over AIG. AIG worked with Yale University, was founded in China, and worked with Yale University and with the Office of Strategic Services, which was the precursor of the CIA, to provide support for Mao Zedong and to coordinate and provide funding for the Communist Chinese Revolution. Also on the board is Winston Lord, who was a protege and for Henry Kissinger, and you have Henry Kissinger himself serving on the board. And the IRC is working with these refugees to help place them in the United States and to facilitate, you know, the refugee, I guess the refugee, their immigration into the U.S.
Right. Let me suggest one thing that may fit in, may not. First of all the people you name are Jewish, and I it's no big deal, but let's face the facts. This is a Zionist Jewish-run enterprise. Virtually all of them are, when the bell rings, they're all going to answer the same way. Okay? They're all tied together. That's just the way it is. Bloodline, Zionism, you can play with word games all day long. Here's the deal, though. When you start to think about where this is going and why so many invaders are being allowed into this country, I submit that they're here to take the place of all the white WASP Christians who are being eliminated through the bioweapon injections. They're not being forced to take any shots, any of the invaders. They're simply brought in, given wads of money, bussed or flown, or maybe even put on a train to where their targeted landing spot is. So they're here to take up space, because if they don't come here, we're going to have a lot of empty houses here in the next year or two, if you follow me. Anyway, that's one possibility.
That's a very interesting thought, and I think another is that they don't have a concept of our Constitution or Bill of Rights.
No,
they're not.
They couldn't care less.
They couldn't care less.
They have no heritage here. No, no.
But they're not. They're disinclined to defend the Constitution and the way of life that we've had. Right. We've held so dear for generations. But I think you're right. Minimally, they're here to replace the culture. And if the assets are stripped from the average American and given to them, you're going to see like a leveling of society or what will eventually be communism, where everybody is at the lowest possible level. You have a slave class and a small elite ruling over them.
That's the name of the game. I agree.
It is indeed.
Remember, the first tier target of the globalist plan to install the Great Reset was Western Europe, Great Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the U.S. targets. And I was told 4 years ago that they were going to pull the plug on the United States. I said, what? Pull the plug on the United States. So make plans accordingly, and that's exactly what's been done. Exactly. Plug has been pulled. Things will never be the same. Can't happen. They don't want it to happen. All right, hold on, Susan. We'll be right back. Our guest tonight, this first hour, Susan Bradford. Wonderful books. Look up her books. They're full of important, salient information. All of them. Be right back. Okay, welcome back. Talking with Susan Bradford about all kinds of things. Go ahead, Susan. Very interesting.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. I think we were talking about, why immigration, or the immigrants are being kind of transported into the United States in such great numbers. I think another reason that, we haven't discussed is that I believe that China has now claimed the large parts of the Western Hemisphere for itself and for its markets, particularly in Latin America and South America. Just to give you an example, Argentina is one of the world's largest lithium, or has one of the world's largest lithium mines. Of course, lithium is a key component that is used for electric cars. They like to promote lithium as being like an environmentally sustainable product. It actually poisons the ground during the mining process, and oftentimes child labor is used to mine lithium. But the Biden White House has spoken about they've redefined the recession as a transition. Into what? And so I think part of the economic challenges that we're facing are part of this wider Green New Deal to decarbonize the world by 2050. So it used to be 2020, 2030. Now we're looking at 2050, where they essentially want to deindustrialize the world, particularly the United States and Europe. But at the same time, you know, we have Biden giving oil to China. We have Rio Tinto then investing in the lithium mines in Argentina. Rio Tinto, of course, is a Rothschild-controlled firm that has tapped the natural resources of Inner Mongolia, shipped those resources over to China to help fuel its energy and its economic rise. And then Saudi Arabia, which Biden had petitioned to, you know, for more oil, they told him no. They are part of the Belt and Road Initiative with China to help develop China economically. Back in 2012, they signed an agreement with the Sinopec Shanghai Engineering Corporation for a joint oil refinery. So while, you know, Saudi Arabia is not helping us with our own oil shortfalls, they are working with China to promote theirs. In fact, during in 2016, during the Trump administration, the Saudis and the Chinese forged a strategic alliance. And apparently that alliance is now being used against us.
Hmm. One other possible interpretation of the decarbonizing of the planet really should be, I think, thought of in terms of carbon units. Carbon units are us. Another neat idea for a toy store, doesn't it? Carbon units are us. We are carbon units, and they want to decarbonize the planet, and I've been told that they're using that term to include the reduction of the global population.
I think that is very apt, and the reason I say that is that, again, the agenda originates from China, and... For centuries, you know, as the Vatican and the Rothschilds observed, the Chinese rulers were able to maintain some type of balance with nature by exterminating vast portions of the population and then maintaining a small population that could serve the ruling elite.
Is that, yep.
So I think maybe they're trying to impose a very similar type of pattern.
That'd be my guess. Yeah. I think so.
Very interesting.
We've got to just remember, we're carbon units to them. Believe it.
I think we're also
go back.
Chattel. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Chattel, serfs, garbage, servants, yeah. And they went after the first world first, remember that. And they'll go after the second and third world next. They'll bring it all down to where they want it. I don't see any way to stop it. I don't see the people here in this country with the gall or the backbone to stand up and make the case. I don't think going to court is going to do much of anything. So I don't know. All I see are people bemoaning the fact that so many people they know are dying or terribly severely injured and never recovering, not getting any better. They're getting worse. So what is it really? I don't know what it takes to get people to get up and to start really refusing to take these shots, but they're still taking them. They're bragging about their boosters. Yeah, I got my second booster. And they're dying. And I see nothing but death in the research that we're doing. It's terrible. And it's being hidden. You won't see it on CNN, of course, or any of the other outlets. They're not news, that's why. They're programming entities to program the masses. Go ahead.
What I've heard from some individuals who have received the shots and who have subsequently come down with COVID, they've said, well, if I hadn't had the shot, I would have fared far worse.
That's like one way to rationalize it, and I know that rationale exists. Let's tune in 6 months and see if that's all they got from taking the shot. I think you might find in many cases that their overall health has taken a very decided turn to the south. We will see.
It's horrible. I pray that the alarmists are wrong, but I think we'll, you know, we will see in the months to come, you know, what becomes of these people.
Remember the Deagle projections. Remember the Deagle projections. January 1, 2025. he projected there would be less than 100 million left in the U.S. And out of 77 million in the U.K., for example, I think the number was 17 million left. That was it. This is 2 years and five months away. So time will tell. Time will tell.
Time will tell.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I wanted to kind of address how the New World Order was kind of set up through Kissinger, in part. And Kissinger was one of the leading architects of the New World Order. The one thing that he did during the Nixon administration while he was normalizing relations with China is that he prevented oil from being developed within Alaska, where a pool of oil was discovered that should have rendered the United States energy independent for hundreds of years.
Forever, basically. It's called forever, Gull Island. Gull Island. And there's just as much oil off the west coast of Florida, where virtually all of the tracts of land that were leased after World War II have been frozen. No drilling allowed. There's so much oil there. Oil is abiotic. The earth constantly produces it. But Gull Island in Alaska, you're right, supposedly has more oil than the Middle East.
So there really is no reason for us to have to rely upon Saudi Arabia or any of the other OPEC countries for any of this oil, none whatsoever.
Nope.
But what Kissinger did is he helped Saudi Arabia develop its oil. In turn, he encouraged Saudi Arabia to purchase oil, or not oil, but gold that had been stolen from America, from Fort Knox, for the purposes of purchasing a hard asset. What Saudi Arabia didn't, they also encouraged Saudi Arabia to purchase our debt. But with the gold, what Saudi Arabia didn't appreciate is that the gold markets were rigged. That is that, the elite knew that when, Saudi Arabia wanted to purchase the gold, they would, price the gold high. And when Saudi Arabia wanted to sell it, they would lower the price. So there's actually a gold cartel that is being managed. I know that there is a London exchange run by the Rothschilds that can set the price of gold. But what many people don't, what they don't actually observe is that the gold is not really pegged to the dollar. So if you would expect that if the dollar were to weaken in value, that gold would increase in value, but you don't see that. And the reason for that is that the gold market has been rigged for decades through the Bank of International Settlements out of Switzerland, also through the London gold market. This is being done to cover up the global casino, otherwise known as Wall Street, and they want to kind of keep this kind of scam going, where they're sucking in honest people to buy into the market, you know, with the expectation that the shares that they have purchased will continue to increase in value. But what they don't realize is that once the elite are ready, they will pull out, and they will be the first ones to do so, and leaving the market to crash. And once it does so, they will really buy up what is left, pennies on the dollar. After the Fed merged with the Treasury Department during the Trump administration, what that left for the Treasury Department, what that enabled the Treasury Department to do is to print paper, or to print money. So they then acquired that, you know, the printing press capabilities, and they're able to artificially keep the stock market up. And I think that the Bitcoin is also being artificially maintained. They're now finding that cryptocurrency is a scam as well. A lot of people were not able to get their money out when the markets fell recently. And so I would really encourage you know, your audience to be very careful about, you know, where they put their money. And I'm not sure that, that gold is necessarily the place to be, because they do set the prices. The prices of gold are rigged, and there's a high commission attached to them, both on the sale and the purchase of gold, so you may not even recover your assets. And now, you know, the elites are peddling paper gold, you know, which is a form of, I guess it's a form of usury in a way, where you are able to purchase gold that does not exist, but which exists only in paper. And therefore, when you go to collect the asset, you don't have any.
Right.
So there are a lot of different scams going on.
It is a scam. They call it deep storage. In other words, it hasn't been mined yet. So you have a piece of paper, but you've got no gold. It's down there, but we haven't been able to get it yet. So, yeah, I would be very careful. Gold, it's obvious that the whole gold price has been rigged from the beginning. Anything of value is, none of it's left to chance or coincidence or happenstance. It's all controlled. You're right.
I actually found kind of an interesting, I guess, statistic or a little information that where economists are actually characterizing the world now as a global banana republic. We're not just a banana republic on the national level, but we have become a global banana republic. So they're saying that the global GDP is $100 trillion, but we are people throughout the world, we are $350 trillion in debt worldwide. So anything above 100% in debt to GDP is classified as a banana republic. So we're actually a banana
That's
republic
funny.
Throughout the world.
Yeah. Good point. Yeah. Absolutely.
So that was the information that I had today to impart. I don't know if where you'd like to take the conversation from here.
You take it where you'd like. You're the scholar. I'm just along for the ride. It's great. We have about, just FYI, about 8 minutes left. So, pick where you'd like to go and we'll go.
Okay, let's see.
We could do a comparison of Musk's toupees. I only had pictures, but nah. Just kidding.
That's interesting. I think I'm in a private conversation. I think you had mentioned his kind of interesting personal life.
Who is his? What is she, a wife? I don't know what she is. Some very skinny Canadian alleged rock personality. What's her name? It's a funny name.
Is it Grimes?
Yeah. Grimes. Who the hell is Grimes? I don't know. But he's had a child by her allegedly. And then there was that other thing that he's recently been accused of sleeping with Sergey Brin's wife and causing a divorce there. That one of the two alleged founders of Google, Sergey Brin and Larry Page. So he denied it. And then there were more stories that came out after that. I don't know what he is. I don't know. But I do agree with your general use of the term. He's a front man. He's a figurehead. He certainly is being controlled, and they're telling him what to do. He does come across as that kind of quaint, eccentric rogue, but he's not. He's not. He's controlled. And I've never liked Tesla cars. I hate electric cars because I know how polluting they are, not only to manufacture, but to get rid of once their life is used up. The first Prius, Toyota Prius, was designed, literally engineered, to have the batteries die within a few thousand miles of the end of the warranty that covered them. So you had to buy like $15,000 worth of new batteries, something like that. I don't remember. But it's all a scam. You milk the sheep. Well, sheep don't get milked. You fleece the sheep. And you just, there's no contest. The sheep don't get it. The sheep have been beaten down so much, they're now in a state of, I think, perennial post-traumatic stress disorder, at the least. You know, the credit card debts are going through the stratosphere. This is all going to come down. It's all going to crash in a very ugly, disastrous wreck soon. And these people are not going to have food or water. What's going to happen? Lake Mead is now, what Gary told me, was a hundred feet from being a still pond of water. What are those three and a half million people in Las Vegas going to do for water? I don't hear anyone talking about building a pipeline, an emergency pipeline from the Columbia River down to Las Vegas, where all that water just goes out into the ocean, and they could certainly spare some of it. I don't know. I don't see any preparations. I see people just meandering through this terminal madness of the end times period, really not doing much of anything. Those few that really kind of get it, what are they going to do? If they really make trouble, they'll be removed.
You're right. It's like a state of learned helplessness.
Absolutely. And, no, they're very and good at it.
It is. That's very true. And I think you're also talking about how the Tesla cars are not—they're not really environmentally sustainable. Some of these cars are catching on fire, and I saw a report recently where Tesla is not paying the rent on some of its charging stations, so that they're left to kind of go like unmaintained at these gas stations.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't hear that.
And I think I can't remember which country it was in. I'll have to review this, but that in some parts it's actually becoming more expensive to charge your car than it is to pay for gas. So a lot of these buyers are thinking that they are going to be, you know, paying less in the long run for gas, but the price for charging the cars is going right on up. Actually,
you
it's going
got
to be the
it.
Opposite.
Yes. No, this is another major scam, in my view, and they pulled it off. And more, well, they had that Ford truck. You know, Ford is famous for its F-150 pickup trucks. This is a staple of American pickup truck subculture. And they hooked up a new electric Ford F-150 to a trailer and hooked up a gasoline Ford F-150, a new one, to the same type of trailer. And they both took off to see how far they could go on a full charge and a full fill-up. Well, the charge on the E-truck ran out in the 86 miles. It was gone because the weight of the trailer burned up that much electricity. So it was dead on the side of the road at before 90 miles. And the gasoline truck just kept right on going. So we didn't need it. We knew years ago we could have cleaned up the exhaust in these cars so that where they would actually be perfectly breathable, all the emissions would not be full of toxicity and poison. All they had to do was put an ozone unit in the exhaust system of the car, and it would have taken out all of the toxins. But they did a big test with that. I think it was a county fleet of trucks or cars in Los Angeles County, and the results were so encouraging that they were immediately buried, and that was the end of that. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think you're right, and of course that didn't fit in with their profit projections or their wider agenda.
No.
I mean, they wanted to be able to track and trace every driver, you know, through these electronic cars. And I think that, you know, going back to Twitter, I think that was one of the plans, one of his strategic plans for acquiring Twitter, is that he was seeking to authenticate every user. By authenticating that individual, you can then determine their political preferences and their consumer preferences, and then kind of integrate that into their driving habits, where they go, how long they stay at wherever they happen to go, and even influence their decisions. I think, you know, clean energy or a clean fuel propelled car did not fit into that wider agenda.
Oh, well said. True. No, their plans are their plans, and they game everything with supercomputers. They run everything through years and years before they launch it. They know how it's going to play out. Within a few percentage points, And with AI now, they probably are better than that. They constantly update these computers with real-time information and news, if you want to call it news. So they're running with the best possible analytical database to game these things, and they come up with the right answers. They know what's going to happen. They know how people will respond, and they do. They knew that the American people and people everywhere could be tricked into demanding these so-called vaccines. They're not vaccines, were never designed to be vaccines, can't operate as a vaccine. They're bioweapons. They knew people would demand them. Fear porn drove the whole PSYOP, and it worked. So now we got an awful lot of sick and dying people, which is what their goal is. So we will see soon enough. Anything you want to add, Susan? That was really a good discourse. Very good.
Thank you very much, Jeff. I think I covered all the main points. We covered them. I think that's all I really have to say today.
Well, it's good to take a look at Musk that way. Yes, he's a strange one, at the very least. Thank you, Susan. Talk to you next month.
Okay, talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Okay. Susan Bradford. And take a look for her books. Look under her name. I think there's a link there to them. A good one. Does her research. We will be back with more after this. Hold on.